Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. And welcome to the program. And let me say, happy Independence Day. Tomorrow's the 4th of July. And I'll tell you what, driving up the radio station tonight, we were either in a country that's celebrating the 4th of July, or there was a war going on somewhere that I didn't know about. Bangs and booms and lights flashing in the sky, And you got out of the car when we got to the station. You could even smell some of the residue from fireworks going off in different places. Just seemed like everybody was really active tonight. And this is only the 3rd of July, so let's see how it goes tomorrow night. But I hope that that you're having a good evening tonight. Hope you had a great day today. Hope you have a great day tomorrow as we celebrate our nation's birthday. Well, we're going to get into our program here this evening. As I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and a host of the program here, Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And we're going to pray in just a moment. But if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here this evening with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer here tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for another opportunity to be on the air this evening. I pray, Lord, that you would bless the program tonight. Use us for your glory here this evening. Help us to point people to Christ. Help us to encourage believers. Thank you that we have the freedom, Lord, to come on the air here tonight to talk about these things. Thank you that that there are people who are willing to sacrifice, that we can have these freedoms. And as we pause to think about the founding of the United States of America, and we think about the Christian roots of our country, just pray you encourage us, Lord, to take a stand, to be salt and light in the world around us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's, like I said, good to be with you tonight. Our toll-free number, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And a reminder, you can check us out on the web at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find out more about me, more about the program, more about our church. You can listen to past programs. Some of our listeners here tonight are in an area where you don't get our Friday afternoon program. We have a half-hour program every Friday afternoon on AM 1220. That's WHKW in Northeast Ohio, out of Independence, Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio area. And we are on, like I said, for a half hour from 1:30 until 2 o'clock every Friday afternoon. And if you're not in an area where you can get those and you would like to listen, you can go online at our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can listen to some of those programs there. I want to mention something real quick, talking about our Friday afternoon program, and this, of course, applies to people outside of just simply Northeastern Ohio. Pray for the people in West Virginia. You know, if you followed the news on this, devastating floods in West Virginia, some areas of West Virginia exceedingly hard hit, and there's Pastor Alan Jenkins of the Columbia Road Baptist Church in North Olmsted, Ohio, over on the west side of Cleveland, called into our program this past Friday, and he heads up a ministry out of their church called the Nehemiah's Network, and they, as a part of that ministry, help with relief supplies into various disaster-struck areas. They have been out to some of the tornado-ravaged areas in Oklahoma and Illinois. They took water up into Flint, Michigan during the recent water crisis there. They've been in other areas, and last week they had taken a load of relief supplies and helped with some of the efforts down in West Virginia. And pray for the people in West Virginia. If you want to listen to that program, you can go online at Live with Pastor Al. You'll find it there on our last Friday program, 1st of July. And one of the things that that's there, if you want to help out, a lot of people hear about these disasters. If you would like to help out, you can go there. You can follow the link it's on our webpage. It's also on our Facebook page, Live with Pastor Al. You can follow the link there to the Disaster Relief Ministry there at the Nehemiah's Network. And that direct link is columbiaroad.org/disaster. That's columbiaroad.org/disaster. And there's things about what you can do to help materials that they're looking for donations for. If you would just like to contribute some funds, I want to thank the people that have donated. I had word that after the program, there were some people that contacted the ministry and wanted to give some money to help with disaster relief. So, we have an opportunity to be a blessing and a help to the people in West Virginia and elsewhere where they're struggling with some of these disasters. So that's just a tremendous ministry. Wanted to plug that. Hadn't really planned too much on that to hear for tonight, but you can hear more about that if you go online at livewithpastoral.com or our Facebook page, Live with Pastor Al, and you can take a look at that. I think on our Facebook page, we've already had 511 people, I guess, click on that link. So that's good to hear. So I appreciate your prayers for them. And they're going back down again this coming week, so pray for them. Even if you don't have anything to give right now, pray for them, pray for their efforts, and pray for the people in West Virginia. Well, want to talk about a few things here tonight. And again, reminder, you can give us a call if you got a question about the Bible or current events in the light of God's Word. Our telephone, toll-free telephone line is open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And, of course, this being the eve of the 4th of July, Independence Day here in the United States of America, wanted to share a couple of things just starting here this evening. We hear a number of things from time to time that this is not really a Christian nation. The founders of this country really weren't Christians, and this is just some kind of revisionist history trying to make the founding fathers Christians and the things of that nature. It's interesting. There were, I believe, 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, and I believe at one count that I was looking at least 27 signers of the Declaration of Independence had seminary degrees. That's kind of interesting, don't you think? The majority of them, not all of them were pastors, but there were some, pastors and some former pastors that were among the signers of the Declaration. But that's kind of interesting that I believe at least 27 signers of the Declaration of Independence were people who identified as Christians, people who had gone to seminary even. And so to say that Christians did not have an impact on this country is to literally ignore the reality. In fact, just looking at the Declaration of Independence, and I'm not going to read the entire Declaration of Independence, but let me just read a little bit from the beginning of this. The Declaration of Independence in Congress, July 4, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. That's how it starts out. And then it says this: when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separation. Now notice that right here in the first paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, they mention specifically nature's God. Now, this is a term that was used here in the 1700s to refer to the God that created heaven and earth. And we know from the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And so we know who nature's God is. It's the God of the Bible. Now, they weren't talking about the God of the Quran. They weren't talking about Allah. They were not talking about Krishna. They were not talking about any other type of God, Jupiter or Cronus or Baal or Moloch or any other God. They were talking about the God of the Bible. And so they cite right here in the very first paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, nature's God. And it's capitalized because they're talking about the God of the Bible. Now, don't you think if there's 27 seminary graduates here helping put together this Declaration of Independence that they kind of knew what they were talking about here when they cited nature's God? Let's go to the second paragraph here. The Bible, I've been in church all day. That's one of the side effects of being a pastor, preaching and saying the Bible says. This is the Constitution. This is not the Bible. The Bible was given by inspiration of God, and it was written by God through men. This is the Declaration of Independence. It was written by men, and I believe they sought the guidance of God to do this, but this is not inspired in the way that the Bible is. But these are some pretty profound statements that they made nonetheless. So here's the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. It says here, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed." Now, it continues on here a little bit, but let me just touch on something that he said here. Talking about self-evident truths, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator, and Creator's got a capital C there. That's because when they put the word Creator here, they were not using an unambiguous term. These people believed that God was our Creator, that God created us. He is nature's God. He's the Creator of heaven and earth, but He's also our Creator. He created us. And so they understood that here when they talked about the Creator. And notice something here that's kind of interesting. You can check this out online. I've seen it online, and this happened actually more than once. The current resident of the White House was reading this from a teleprompter. And this, like I said, happened on more than one occasion. And this is what he read. He said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed." And then he paused and scrunched up his face, and kind of in the one video of him doing this, got a sour look on his face. And he said that they are that all men are created equal, that they are endowed. Pause, scrunch up the face, look sour. "With certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Do you know what he left out there? He left out a certain phrase, "by their Creator." Why would he not want to read that? And why would he do that on more than one occasion, refuse to say that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator, and purposely left that out? You could tell. There was a pause. There was a scrunching of the face. There was a sour look on at least one occasion. Why would he refuse and not want to say "by their Creator"? Well, in other cases, now he has said that, some blowback on that, but it happened. You can check that out. You can research that online. But here it is again, the Declaration of Independence, second paragraph. They mention the Creator, and that is the God, nature's God, the Creator of heaven and earth, that's our Creator. And after telling us, referencing our Creator here, we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. These are rights that should not be taken away from us, that among these, so this is not by any means exhaustive, among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Let me tell you why I'm adamantly pro-life, why I think that abortion is a heinous crime, a blot on the record of these United States of America. You know why? It's because it deprives human beings of their life without due cause. Are there occasions where life can be taken? Yeah, capital punishment is in the Bible. There's when Noah and his family got off the ark, God said that if a man kills another man, then his life is to be taken. His life is forfeit. Capital punishment was carried out throughout the Bible. And it's even indicated in here in Romans chapter 14, chapter 13, I'm sorry, Romans chapter 13, when talking about human governments, the Bible says in Romans 13, verse number 4, talking about the government authority, for he is the minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now, what, pray tell, was the sword used for? The sword was not used merely for target practice or fencing practice, I guess you could say, in this case. The sword was an instrument of lethal force. It was a deadly weapon. The court officials, the what would account for, in a sense, the police back then, some of the soldiers who were tasked with keeping the peace, some of the sergeants and things that were tasked with apprehending bad guys and trying to keep people safe, they carried swords because that was the lethal force that they could employ in the course of their activities. Soldiers carried swords in order in the prosecution of their duties, that they too carried lethal force and the ability to project that lethal force in order to defend their country, their community. And so we see that the lethal force is allowed under certain circumstances. That's why the police officers today can employ lethal force. Instead of carrying a sword, they carry a gun. They carry a handgun. They may at times carry a rifle of some sort. That's why our soldiers, military personnel, carry guns as well, because they're ministers of the government. Now, their role is to be a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doth evil. Now, if they execute wrath on them that do good and protect those that do evil, then they're going to answer to God for that, because they're doing contrary to what they're supposed to be doing according to the scriptures. Now, we're talking about this in Romans chapter 13 here, and notice again how this ties in with the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. Again, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then notice what it says here, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Now, who, pray tell, instituted the governments among men? Well, see if you can figure that out as I read again here in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, starting in verse number 1. The Bible says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And it goes on talking about a variety of things here. But did you catch that here? As we're talking about this in Romans chapter 13, it says that there are no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. And then it talks about rulers who are supposed to be. Now, are all rulers acting as ministers of God in the right sense? Absolutely not. Guess what? They're going to be answerable to God for that. If they've not been saved, if they die in their sin, they're going to give an account for ruling the wrong way. God allows rulers into positions of power so that they can be ministers of God to us for good. It says it right there in verse number 4. He's a minister of God at the beginning of the verse, in the middle of the verse, for he is a minister of God. And we see this again in verse number 6, where it says, for they are God's ministers. This is human government. The Declaration of Independence, again, said that all men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Government derives its credibility, authority, its authorization to exist. It comes from God. God is the one who instituted governments among men, and he calls government ministers government or ministers of God, and they're supposed to do good. Now, that was the crux of the independence movement, the Declaration of Independence, because as they continue on here, and I don't have time, obviously, here to read the entire Declaration of Independence, but they go on to list the areas where King George had violated his authority as a governor, where the government was no longer being responsive to the people, no longer being ministers of God to the people for good, but rather taking advantage of the people and abusing the people and using the people for his own sake. Now, as we come down to the conclusion of the Declaration of Independence, we come down to the last paragraph here. It says, we therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, assembled according to the Supreme Judge of the world. You know who they were meaning there? Remember, 27 signers of the Declaration of Independence had seminary degrees. Many of them are current or former pastors. Well, they were not talking about some human official. They were talking about the God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, the one that created us, and the one that will one day we will answer to, either as our savior or as our judge. And so they appeal to the supreme judge of the world for restitution of our intentions due in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these united colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, notice what they conclude here in the last sentence, and for the support of this declaration with firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. Now, they weren't talking about providential good fortune here. Providence is a capital P. Providence in the 1700s here was a name that was applied to God himself, the creator of heaven and earth. our Creator, the supreme judge of the world, divine providence, with firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And then, of course, the signers of the Declaration of Independence. Now, again, 56 signers, 27 of them believed to have seminary degrees, many of them current or former pastors. I think they knew what they were talking about. I think in the most basic founding document of our country, this is the document that gives us authority to have the Constitution of the United States of America. The Constitution is an important document, but it is not the most important document. This country existed prior to the Constitution. This country came into being when people appealed to nature's God, to our Creator, to the supreme judge of the world, to divine providence, and declared themselves a separate and independent country. They were reliant upon the God of the Bible. So that makes the Declaration of Independence the second most important document, and the Word of God becomes the foundation and the most important document in the founding of these United States. Stay tuned for the next half hour. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation here this evening. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And let's see, if you missed the last half hour, I spent the last half hour talking about the Declaration of Independence, and I encourage you to take a listen to that. Hopefully in the next day or so, I'll get that posted up on our website as well at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and try and get that linked on our Facebook page as well. And you can find us on Facebook at Live with Pastor Al. And we've had a number of people visiting some of the things there, so I encourage you to check us out there. And also, just a reminder, of course, that we're brought to you not only by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and I certainly invite you to visit us there. We have more information about that at the end of the program. But we meet at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio. If you're in the area, the convention, the Republican National Convention is coming up about 2 weeks, I think now it's fast approaching. But if you're in town, in the area, and for that, and a lot of people coming into town, why don't you come and check us out? Of course, that convention is July 18th. Through the 21st, I believe it is, but we'll be talking about that some more maybe in the next week or two. But let's see, I was going to say something here. Oh, also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, and you can find them online at East Coast Pizza, GarfieldHeights.com. That's East Coast Pizza, GarfieldHeights.com. You can find a link to the East Coast Pizza as well as a link to the Bible Baptist Church at our website, livewithpastoral.com. And, of course, East Coast Pizza is located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call for pickup or delivery at 241-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, maybe you're out of the area and not able to come and visit there or just enjoy great pizza, but you're looking for a great pizza that you can add to an existing restaurant, or perhaps a pizza that you can use to start your own pizza restaurant, you can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100, and ask for Gus, and he can help you get started for a lot less than what you might think possible. All right, we'll get back into our program here. Again, those phone lines are open. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, the number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'd love to get you on here tonight. Mention a couple of things here. One thing I was reading about recently here before I get into some other things, this is just a new study that's come out, and actually it's only been posted online for a short while. In the past, I've talked about how biology and specifically genetics reinforces the biblical account of creation in a variety of ways. And the study of genetics has found that all of us are descended from one man. The way they've determined that is all men in the Y chromosome have a certain male-specific part in their DNA that they have studied people from all over the world, and they have found that everybody is descended from one individual human male, and they have called him Y chromosome Adam. Interesting how they chose the name Adam, isn't it? Well, the Bible tells us that we're all descended from Adam. And then also, in the study of genetics, they have studied people from all over the world, and they have come to the conclusion that every single human being on the planet is the descendant of one single human female. And they have appropriately named her Mitochondrial Eve. And the reason they call her Mitochondrial Eve is because inside of the mitochondria, now the mitochondria, they're little organelles that exist inside of the cell, outside of the nucleus. And these little organelles, they are, in a sense, you can think of them as the power plant, the energy-producing power plant of the cell. And these little organelles are kind of unique amongst other organelles in the cell in that they have their own distinct DNA. They call it mDNA, or I'm sorry, mtDNA for mitochondrial DNA. And in looking at mitochondrial DNA, because of the way reproduction takes place, the mitochondria that you inherit comes from the mother's egg cell and the mother's egg cell alone. And as a result, the studies in genetics have found that every single human being is descended from one single woman. As they said, they call her Mitochondrial Eve, and the Bible says that Eve is the mother of all living, the mother of all living human beings. Well, there's a new study that's out, and this is fascinating. Biologist, Dr. Nathaniel Jeanson, plotted hundreds of human mitochondrial DNA sequences into a tree diagram, and they used this to follow things back, and they found something very interesting. The mitochondrial DNA, as they diagrammed all of this, it eventually went back to three nodes or trunks on this tree that he put together in this chart, instead of just one. You say, wait a minute, Pastor Al, you're just saying that Eve is the mother of all living. Well, let's follow this here a second. Think about this. How many people were on the ark? There was Noah and his wife, and then they had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem, Ham, and Japheth each had a wife. And all of the human beings that populated the world after the flood are descendants of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. According to the Bible, Noah and Mrs. Noah had no more children after the flood. So all of the people living on the earth came from either Ham and his wife, Shem and his wife, or Japheth and his wife. Did you catch that? There's three wives. And interestingly enough, when they charted this, the mitochondrial DNA all go back to three. Now, they eventually all go back to one, but why would they go down to three nodes or three trunks? It shows that every human being alive today carries one of three unique ancestral maternal mitochondrial DNA sequences, which fits exactly with the Bible. And I'm going to get to a phone call here in just a moment, but here's the second thing about this. One is good, but, you know, the Bible says out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let something be established. Well, here's an interesting thing. At the calculated mutation rate of mitochondrial DNA, they would expect a certain number of differences to occur in the mitochondrial DNA over a period of time. And cutting through all of this, assuming that many of the women would have started giving birth at a younger age than what we usually see today, and calculating all of this out, they estimate that the pre-flood differences in the mitochondrial DNA would have accounted to 123. Now, this is interesting because when they began looking at the diversity of human mitochondrial DNA on record, guess how many differences should have resulted? Just what they said, 123. And so according to Jensen's eight estimated pre-flood differences, the idea is that during this period of time, the number shows what they calculated here. And let's jump down to the summary right here. Basically, the summary is this. If all people descended from three genetically unique mothers, then our mitochondrial DNA sequences should go back to three nodes, and they do. And the three nodes should have about eight differences between them. That's where the eight comes in. And they do. Plus, a strict Bible timeline suggests that there should be the 123 is the highest number of mitochondrial differences that should be observed today. And guess what? All three of those mitochondrial trends check out with the Bible, and they check out with modern genetics. Coincidence or design? I choose to believe it's design, because God created us. He's our creator, and we're all descended from Eve via these three women, the wives of Shem, Ham, and Japheth that were on the ark. Well, you can give us a call tonight. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got John calling in this evening. John, welcome to the program tonight.
Yes, hello. How are you tonight?
Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm kind of puzzled by the Declaration of Independence.
All right. It's a fascinating document. Have you read it?
No, but I was listening to you read it.
Well, I only read the first couple of paragraphs and the last paragraph, but it's an interesting document. Well worth reading.
I'm confused about the last paragraph.
The last paragraph. All right. What
About divine providence.
Divine providence. Providence was a name that was applied to God.
What's my understanding that it was Thomas Jefferson that wrote the Declaration?
Thomas Jefferson believed in God. He may not have been born again, probably, but he believed that God existed. He believed that there was a creator of the heavens and the earth. Jefferson, like I said, may not have been a born-again Christian, but he believed in a God that created heaven and earth, and he believed that, one of the names of that God was Providence. Just like we would say Jehovah or God or, something like that. It's just another name for God.
Well, it's my understanding that he made up his own Bible and that he believed that Jesus was just a human.
That's why I said he probably wasn't born again. There's a lot of people that look at the Jewish people. The Jewish people reject Jesus Christ as being the Messiah, though it's hard to read the Old Testament and see many of the prophecies that are fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ and not believe that he's the Messiah. Just because he rejects Jesus as being God doesn't mean that he rejects that God is the creator of heaven and earth, because most of the Jewish people would agree that the God of the Old Testament created the heavens and the earth.
What God did Jefferson believe created?
I think he believed essentially in the Old Testament God. He may not have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, he believed, let me put it this way, he believed in nature's God, and you got to remember, there was a number of seminary people, a number of current and former pastors that approved and signed this. If he was talking about Allah here, if he was talking about Gaia here, if he was talking about something like that, they would have called him on it, and they would have had more than enough people to overrule. You have to remember that Jefferson Davis, though he may not have been, Thomas Jefferson, thinking of the wrong Jefferson there, we're getting up a little further in history, but if Thomas Jefferson, you got to remember, he attended church services on a regular basis. In fact, there was a Baptist church that he attended on many occasions, and he actually looked at some of the things that they did and observed, and he applied them in some of his writings on the founding documents and religious liberties and things like that. So Thomas Jefferson believed in the God of the Old Testament, the creator of heaven and earth.
I don't think Thomas Jefferson believed in the Old Testament.
Oh, what God, John? What God do you think? Since you know this, what God did Thomas Jefferson believe in?
Well, I think the founding fathers.
No, what God did Thomas Jefferson believe in? Not the founding fathers. We know that the majority of the people here in the Congress that signed the Declaration of Independence believed in the God of the Bible. What, since you brought this up, what God did Thomas Jefferson believe in? We can't move on with this until you answer that question.
Well, I think the fact that the Declaration was written by a committee.
No, what God did Thomas Jefferson believe in?
Probably the God of the Freemasons.
And what God is that? Identify that for me.
Well, if you look on the Masonic symbol.
No, what God? Just give us the God.
It's a capital G.
Okay, so you don't believe that, that Thomas Jefferson believed in the God of the Bible, but yet 56 signers, what was it, and 27 or so that were seminary graduates, a number of pastors and things, they signed a document that cited a God that was not the God of the Bible. Is that what you're telling our listeners today?
You have to remember that the founding fathers, most of them were Freemasons.
No, I'm sorry. There's a lot of Freemasons that are born-again Christians. Whether or not they should be a Mason is another story. Most Masons don't know what goes on at the higher degree level. So let's come back to this. 27 signers of the Declaration of Independence had seminary degrees. There were a number of current and former full-time pastors in amongst these signers of the Declaration. You're telling our listeners that you know that they signed a document citing the non-Christian God as divine providence. Well, that's a newsworthy insight. I think most people would disagree with you, but I guess we'll have to leave it there, John, because you know it goes at all odds with what people talked about. And to say that because Thomas Jefferson was not a saved individual, that he was coming up with some pagan god that he paid homage to, and that our country was founded on a pagan god, and that a number of pastors and former pastors signed a document that they knew cited a pagan god, and that's just beyond the bounds of reason there. I know people like to revisit the people of the 1700s and like to see that a deist of the 1700s it was the same as a deist today. The deists of the 1700s were not the same as deists today. Thomas Jefferson believed in the God of the Old Testament. He believed that God created the heavens and the earth. He believed in nature's God. Now, some of the deists of the day, they believed in the God of the Bible, but they thought that after God created everything, he kind of set everything in motion and took a hands-off approach to it. And to try to come back and read things into the Declaration of Independence that's not there, to try and say that these people that later on, many of them went on to write the Constitution, and that they cited the God of the Bible repeatedly. I read right there in the first two paragraphs of the Declaration of Independence, nature's God, their creator, and in the last paragraph, supreme judge of the world, divine providence. All of those were references to the God of the Bible. Thomas Jefferson was well aware of what people believed about the God of the Bible. And the people that were on the committee that put together the Declaration of Independence would have been well aware of what Thomas Jefferson's views were. And I know some people who are of a Jewish belief. They believe in the God of the Old Testament. They don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. They don't believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. Does that mean that they then don't believe in the God of the Old Testament? Absolutely not. Now, they need to put their faith in Jesus Christ because he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way to heaven. But getting beside that, if somebody believes the Old Testament, let me ask you this question. What books did Paul use when he traveled on his missionary journey to tell people that Jesus was the Messiah? He didn't use any of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. He didn't use the book of Romans. He didn't use 1st or 2nd Corinthians or any of these other books in the New Testament. You know what books he used? He used the books of the Old Testament because that's all they had. When Paul went into the synagogues and he reasoned with the Jews on the Sabbath day, he reasoned out of the Old Testament scriptures. Think about this. They knew the scripture, the Old Testament. Many of the Jews rejected Jesus as being the Messiah. They chose to reject him in many cases, even though they knew that he fulfilled the prophecies. And yet still, they rejected him. Now, they still believed that Jehovah God created the heavens and the earth. They believed that Jehovah God was nature's God. They believed that Jehovah God was the creator. They believed that Jehovah God was the supreme judge of the world. They believed that Jehovah God was divine providence. And yet they did not believe that Jesus was God. See, you can reject the New Testament as perhaps Thomas Jefferson did, and still believe that Jehovah God is nature's God, our creator, supreme judge of the world, and divine providence. And I don't know what this compulsion is that some people have, that they want to destroy the Christian founding of this world. Of this country. Is this country a perfect country? Absolutely not. Is this country in need of repentance? Absolutely. We've made a lot of mistakes in our country. And yet, more than any other country that's ever existed on this planet, we owe our beginnings, we owe our founding on the Word of God and a reliance of many people upon their firm belief that the God of the Bible had moved upon them in order to bring this country into being. Even when they were drafting the Constitution later on, number of years later, they were having a tough go. And Benjamin Franklin, who was probably not saved either, Benjamin Franklin was kind of an infidel in many respects, but yet here was aged Benjamin Franklin who said, hey, you know, when we embarked on founding this country, when we embarked on loosing our bonds with Great Britain, we relied upon God. And now, of course, I'm not giving the exact words, but he said, now, you know, we've not prayed. We need to invoke God's blessing upon our endeavors. And he called for them to pray. And he was what might be called an infidel. But yet at the same time, he recognized the God of the Bible. And so this nation has a very definite Christian heritage. The Bible was quoted more than any other work in crafting the United States Constitution. There's a great book out there. I believe it's called America in Crimson by the author's last name is Beller. I believe it's B-E-L-L-A-R-E-R, America in Crimson. And it goes into some of the founding of this country. And you can find on Google, you can find online. I believe it's listed on our website at livewithpastoral.com. David Beller is the author. And he uncovers some tremendous materials in there dealing with our founding fathers. And no doubt that we had a Christian background. Why do you think this country has become the most powerful economic, military, and freest country that the world has ever seen? It's because of our founding and our reliance upon God at the very beginning. Have we drifted from that? Have we been perfect during all of the course of our history? Absolutely not. One could easily argue that the Civil War that racked this country, tore it apart, threatened to destroy it, was a time where our country went through that because we violated our own principle that all men are created equal and that are supposed to have certain unalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, we deprive liberty from a significant portion of our population, the black population in this country. And guess what? Our nation paid for that in many ways. And we're paying for our depriving of life of the unborn. Hey, we're out of time. I hope you'll celebrate the 4th of July, our nation's birthday tomorrow. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.